This reading was developed by the Center for Clinical Interventions. Put Off Procrastinating, Module 5, Practical Techniques to Stop Procrastination. In this module, we'll go over the following sections. Introduction, what do I need to do, how can I do it, when can I do it, and other tips, followed by a module summary. Introduction. As we've seen already, understanding procrastination and using helpful self-talk to overcome procrastination are both very important, but at the end of the day, it is taking action that needs to happen. You may be familiar with the phrase, just do it. Ultimately, that's what needs to happen to stop your procrastination, but it's easier said than done. No one ever tells you how to just do it, and this module will aim to show you how. In practical terms, you need to stop procrastination activities such as doing pleasurable tasks, lower priority tasks, socializing, engaging in distractions and daydreaming, and instead, you need to act and get started on important tasks and goals. This module will take you through practical ways to stop putting off and start doing. These practical strategies will help you to get going and will also address any weakness you may have in skills like organization, time management, managing your environment, and the way you approach tasks, which may be contributing to your procrastination. What do I need to do? The first practical step to overcoming procrastination is being very clear about what needs to be done. If this is all hazy, then it's going to be very hard to get started. If the task is big or you have many tasks, you won't know where to start. If the task is small, you may be thinking it's worse than it really is. Being clear about what you need to do will bring you one step closer to doing, as you will know exactly what you're up against and hence have a better idea how to proceed. Knowing exactly what you need to do involves the following. Prioritize. Firstly, write a to-do list of the tasks and goals you need to work on. This could be a list for the day, the week, the month, or longer, depending on what makes most sense for your circumstances. You may have more than one list, for example, a longer-term list for the month and a short-term list for the day. Depending on your situation, you may have lots of things on your list, or just one big thing that you've really been putting off. When you stand back and look at these lists, think of how realistic it is to achieve these things in the time allocated. If it isn't realistic, see which tasks or goals can be postponed and revisited at a later date. With your remaining list of activities, it is now important to prioritize. Order them from one onwards as to what things need to be done first and foremost, then what next, and then what can be done later down the track. That way you'll know where to start, not based on what you feel like doing, but instead based on what is most urgent and important. Grade. The next step is to grade each task. What we mean by grade is to break the task into tiny small steps that are involved in achieving the task. That way you break the task into chunks. This works well in the sense that if you have a large task and don't know where to start, grading the task into its component steps can make it seem less overwhelming. Alternatively, if it is a small task, when you go to grade it, you may see there isn't much to it, and this may motivate you to get it over and done with. When you grade a task, think of the first step and then work through the series of steps involved until the task is completed. Include all the steps, big, medium, and small. For the big steps, see if there's any way you can break them down even further if they seem too big. Tell time. People who procrastinate are often not good at telling time. What we mean by this is that they may underestimate how long something will take them and hence do not allocate enough time so things don't get done or are late. They may also overestimate how long something will take them and hence make the task far bigger deal than it really is, which puts them off doing it. Improving your time telling by practicing estimating how long something takes can be helpful. You can do this by starting to keep a record of tasks you regularly have problems with because you either underestimate or overestimate the time required to do these tasks. Actually time how long it takes you to do these things and keep a record. Once your time telling has improved, you can then make more accurate estimates of how long each step of each task will take you. Below is an example of how to prioritize, grade, and allocate time to tasks. You can have a go at doing something similar in a notebook, focusing particularly on the tasks or goals you have decided to tackle throughout these modules. You can take some time to pause the recording now to review the example on the handout provided. How can I do it? Now that you know exactly what needs to be done, you can focus on the best way to approach each step involved in completing your tasks or goals. The overall aim is to take it one step at a time. However, there are a number of different possibilities for approaching each step of a task or goal, and there is no one right way. Below are some suggestions of different approaches you can try. Some of these approaches will be more suited to certain types of tasks and less relevant to other types of tasks. Try them on for size and see what you like the most. Let's go through these together. Worst first. One option is to knock out the worst task first. If there is something you're dreading, get it over and done with first, and then all the other things you need to do will seem like a breeze after that. This works particularly well for small but dreaded tasks. For example, phoning someone you don't want to speak to. Using momentum. Another option is to start a task that you like and that energizes you, and then without a break, quickly switch to a task that you've been putting off. The idea is to use the motivation and momentum you get from the task you like, for example, cooking, to help you get through the task that you don't like, for example, cleaning the fridge up. Just 5 minutes. A really useful approach for getting started on tasks is to plan to spend just 5 minutes on the task. This is such a small amount of time, you'll feel like you can tolerate just 5 minutes. At the end of the 5 minutes, reassess and see if you can spend just another 5 minutes on the task, and so on. You may decide to make the chunks of time a little longer, for example, 10 or 15 minutes, if this seems more reasonable to you. The idea being, set just a small amount of time to get started on a task, and at the end of which, see if you can go just another small amount of time or more. You'll be surprised at just how much you're able to extend your time working on a task once you've gotten the ball rolling. Set time limits. A different approach is to set a specific amount of time to work on a task and stick to just that rather than extending things if you feel you can. If you know in the back of your mind that you're going to expect yourself to do more when the time is up, it may stop you from starting in the first place, as it can feel like you're just trying to trick yourself. Whereas, if you know you only need to do 30 minutes and that's it, regardless of whether you feel like doing more, you may be more willing to get going. Prime time. Choosing the right time of day to approach a task can be helpful too. You might need to work out what time of day you're most productive or energized or creative. The idea is to attempt tasks when you're at your optimum. You may be a night person, a morning person, or a middle of the day kind of person. Also, there may be different times of the day that are better suited for different types of tasks. For example, all of the dry tasks, for example, household chores, you may be better at tackling in the morning. In creative tasks, for example, painting or drawing, you may be better at night. Another example is that you may find it easier to follow through with a new exercise routine in the morning compared to at the end of the day, or vice versa. The important thing is to become aware of what time of day works best for you and seize those moments to get going. Prime place. It's also important to choose the right place to attempt a task. You need to be aware of what types of environments you get more done in, and what types of environments you have distractions that might make you more likely to procrastinate. For example, trying to get a task done while there's lots of people around means there's the potential for social distractions, which isn't going to help you get going. Therefore, you may need to isolate yourself for a set period of time in order to get work done. In addition, attempting tasks whilst there's other distractions within arm's reach, for example, a TV, fridge, telephone, etc., is just teasing yourself and tempting procrastination. Hence, seek out environments you can work in with minimal distractions. For example, the library versus your home, your desk versus the lounger room on your bed, etc. Remember, then do. For small, irritating tasks that often slip your mind, a good strategy is that as soon as you remember the need to do the task, seize the moment to follow through. Rather than putting it off and forgetting about it again, you use remembering of the task as a sign to take action now. Reminders. If forgetting tasks is a big part of why you procrastinate, use virtual reminders and prompts to help you. If the things you need to get done aren't in your face, then it'll be a case of out of sight, out of mind. So take steps to make sure that the tasks you need to get done are in your face. This could involve writing notes or lists and placing them in prominent places. For example, your fridge, bedside table, bathroom mirror, desk, diary, or using other reminders, for example, on your mobile phone, email manager, or even asking someone else to remind you. Visualize. Another way to approach your tasks or goals is to first visualize doing them. If you're good with imagery, bring to mind a very vivid and real picture of doing the task. Try to use all your senses to make the image as real as possible. In this image, notice any obstacles coming up that get in the way of the task and visualize yourself successfully overcoming those obstacles and following through with the task to completion. In the image, focus particularly on the good feeling you have when the task is complete. Once the task is successfully completed in your mind, use the momentum from the visualization to get going on the task in real life. Focus. If you're feeling unsettled when sitting down to commence a task, take a moment to close your eyes and focus on your breath. Try to lengthen out each breath in and each breath out. Slow your breath down to smooth, slow, and steady breathing. Take in normal and comfortable volumes of air and try to allow yourself to breathe from deep in the lungs and belly rather than shallow in your chest. Just focus on the breath. It may even be helpful to count your breath to yourself. For example, breathing in, 2, 3, hold. Breathing out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Counting whatever rhythm feels comfortable to you. Spend 5 to 10 minutes using your breath to settle and focus and then return to the task. Anytime you notice yourself becoming unsettled, again, just focus on a couple of slow and smooth breaths. Just observe the unsettled feeling rather than being irritated by it. Let go of the feeling by imagining each exhalation as carrying that unsettledness away from the body as the breath leaves the body. Plan rewards. A really important part of approaching tasks and goals in a productive way is to actually plan rewards and playtime. Often the things we could use to reward ourselves, for example, pleasure and socializing, are the very same things that distract us and get us procrastinating in the first place, and hence make us feel guilty. But there's a difference between these activities interfering and distracting us from what needs to be done, and instead using them to reward ourselves after something has been achieved, or as a well-earned break from a task. The more you plan regular rewards for your achievements, the less you'll feel like you're missing out or being deprived of something, and hence the less likely it is that you'll procrastinate. The key is to use these rewards to be guilt-free by having pre-planned them and fitted them around your work that needs to be done. People will often think, I don't have time or I don't deserve rewards or fun. But think of it this way. The things you don't like doing tend to zap some of your energy, whereas rewards, leisure, and pleasure help to replenish your energy, allowing you to do better quality work in the long run. It's about a balance between pleasure and achievement. When you're a procrastinator, the balance is out in that there is more pleasure, often guilty pleasure, and little achievement. The aim with overcoming procrastination is not for it to be all about achievement and no pleasure, as that doesn't lead to a good life. Instead, finding the balance between pleasure and achievement is the key to being a doer rather than a procrastinator. Now that you've had a look through the different ways you can approach tasks and goals, jot down the ones you would most like to try that seem relevant to the tasks or goals you've been trying to conquer throughout these modules. You can pause the recording now to complete this on the lines provided on your handout. When can I do it? Now that you know what needs to be done and have some ways of approaching the tasks and goals you need to do, the final practical way to overcome procrastination is to identify when to do it. This involves having some routine and hence an idea of where the tasks you've been putting off can slot into your routine. It's about making or allocating time to work on these tasks or goals. There are two ways you can do this, to schedule or to unschedule your tasks and goals. You may want to try both ways and see which works best for you. Schedule. Scheduling is like keeping a detailed diary. It involves making a plan for what will be done at what point in your day or week. On page 8, you will see an example of how to use a schedule for your week. Notice how this person's existing routine and commitments have been scheduled into the week. For example, breakfast, work, catching the bus, lunch, dinner, appointments, social outings, etc. Also included in this plan of when to do the steps for each task and goal that you've been procrastinating on, and these tasks appear in bold type on the schedule. For example, find gas bill, ring, pay, change, walk 15 minutes, tidy spare room, write modules, etc. Notice how when you schedule your week, you make a decision about the specific time you're going to do things. This way, your week is well planned and you know exactly when you will fit the things in you've been putting off. Unschedule. The upside of scheduling is that you have a detailed plan in place to follow, and you know exactly what needs to be done when. However, there are some downsides for some people. One downside is if spontaneous events interfere with the plan. If something interrupts the plan, some people find it hard to be flexible and get back on track with the schedule. Also, some people can feel that their week is too planned and regimented and may resent this. In addition, if you don't happen to do a task goal at the set time you planned for whatever reason, some people can feel like they failed at the schedule and may give up altogether. If you find that these problems apply to you when you try scheduling your week, you may want to try using the unschedule. The unschedule shares some similarities with scheduling in that you use the same format to schedule in any existing commitments or usual routine. That is, the things you know will happen in your week. However, the key difference is that you don't write in when you plan to do the tasks and goals you have set for yourself that you've been procrastinating on. Instead, by having scheduled your existing commitments, you will now be able to see where you have space in your week to fit other things. The unschedule will help you see where you have blocks of time to devote to the tasks and goals you've been putting off. Then, when one of these blocks of time presents itself, you can go to your prioritized or graded list of tasks or goals and decide what you're going to work on during this time. Once you have worked solidly on a task for 30 minutes, mark it to your schedule. Then, if you have worked for another solid 30 minutes, mark that in too. That is, you mark in each 30-minute block of time you spend working on your tasks and goals after you've done it. Doing things this way, you can't fail at the unschedule as no specific target has been set. In addition, interruptions are more easily accommodated and you can feel like there's some spontaneity in your week. At the end of each day or week, you can look back and see how much time you have devoted to doing things that you've been procrastinating about by looking at the blocks of time you have marked off. Page 9 shows an example of what an unschedule might look like. You can take some time to pause the recording to review the example if you'd like. The main thing is to give scheduling a go, whether it be a more fixed method, for example, planning specific tasks for specific times in your week, or unfixed method, for example, being aware of when you have blocks of time in your routine to devote to tasks and goals, and then marking off the time you've worked on those. On page 10, there's a blank schedule so you can experiment with each method for the tasks and goals you've been working on throughout the modules. You can pause now to complete this. Other tips. Below are some other practical tips you may find helpful in getting you going and following through on tasks. Self-monitoring. Similar to marking in the blocks of time you've worked on in the unschedule, self-monitoring is the process of recognizing and recording what you have achieved. So when you have accomplished some work on a task or completed a task, mark it in your unschedule or tick it off on your schedule. Or tick it off on your initial list of tasks or goals you created. Don't let these things go unnoticed or swept under the carpet, but instead acknowledge your achievements by having some record of what you've done. It's really amazing how something as simple as merely crossing a task off your to-do list can make you feel really good and want to keep doing more. Telling someone. Another tip is to tell someone you trust that you're aiming to complete certain tasks or goals. Telling someone has three aims. Firstly, when you tell other people, it signifies a more serious commitment that you're going to follow through on things compared to when you do things in secret. Secondly, having another person to check in with on how you're doing can be motivating as it makes you feel accountable to someone other than yourself. And finally, if you're struggling, then that person can be someone you can gain support from in tough times. Assertiveness. Another thing to consider is whether a lack of assertiveness is getting in the way of you overcoming your procrastination. For example, if you're unassertive, you may find it difficult to say no. This may mean that you take on unnecessary tasks, which lessens the time you have available for the real priority tasks and goals you need to be working on. Another example is you may find it difficult to make requests of others, such as telling people you need to have some time alone to work on something important. As such, this may keep any social distractions going that interfere with working on your tasks or goals. Assertiveness is a skill that takes some time and practice to develop. It involves recognizing you have the right to say no and make reasonable requests in a way that is respectful to both yourself and others. It involves not just what you say, for example, I'm unable to do that job for you at the moment, is there someone else you could give it to? Or, I really need some time alone to work on this right now, but I'd love to catch up with you afterwards. But also how you say it. For example, clear and confident tone of voice, direct but calm style, making eye contact, standing straight, listening to others, etc. If you struggle with these types of things, you may want to refer to the info packs on assertive communication to help you deal with this issue in more detail. Module summary. Overcoming procrastination in practical ways involves knowing what needs to be done, how to do it, and when to do it. Clarity, task approach, and time availability is the key. To gain clarity as to exactly what needs to be done, you need to write a list of things, tasks and goals that need to be done, and then prioritize these, then grade each, and then accurately estimate how much time each step of each task or goal will take. When contemplating how to do a task, there are numerous ways you can approach any given task to make the task easier. Some of the methods you might try include worst first, using momentum, just 5 minutes, set time limits, prime time, prime place, remember then do, reminders, visualize, focus, and plan rewards. To manage your time availability so that you know when to do your tasks and goals, you can use a more fixed method like a schedule, for example, planning specific tasks for specific times in your week, or a more unfixed method like an unschedule, for example, being aware of when you have blocks of time in your routine to devote to tasks or goals, and then marking off time once you've worked on these. Other things to consider when overcoming procrastination is self-monitoring your achievements, getting someone else involved in the process, and improving your assertiveness skills. This completes this module of the reading. Feel free to review the materials as needed. As always, thank you for listening.